We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Some claim that the best way to protect the freedom of religion is to implement so-called anti-defamation policies that would restrict freedom of expression and the freedom of religion. I strongly disagree.
It's your time to believe. It's your time for favor. It's your time for restoration. It's your time to trust, and it's your time to stretch. I want to talk about me.
One of our pet rescuers in 22 states will come rescue their pet once the rapture happens and care for them as their own.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The images of eternal life in Scripture are a little difficult for us to grasp. They fall well outside our everyday experience. We have a picture of a new heaven and a new earth, of a creation kind of on steroids, unlike anything we can imagine. Some of these images harken back to Eden before the fall. Some of them point forward to something that is so obviously greater than even Eden. Our minds cannot grasp this. And what is St. Paul says? He says, our minds cannot conceive what God has in store for those he has redeemed in Jesus Christ. So what's waiting for us? And what do the saints who have gone before us, still awaiting the resurrection of all flesh, what do they have now because of what Christ has done for them? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the hymn Jerusalem the Golden. As the church remembers all saints, we study Jerusalem the Golden because it speaks of that bliss that is now theirs, that is, in some sense, by faith, already ours, and that awaits us all in the final resurrection at Christ's return. Joining us to study this hymn, Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke, and the book Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Nice to be with you, Todd, always, especially in this season of All Saints. We're getting ready for the Good Shepherd Institute, which we've always held during the All Saints weekend, and we have a wonderful menu for our folks on Bach and his music that celebrates the hope we have in Christ.
This particular hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, is personal for you. Why is that?
It is, Todd. It's a hard hymn for me still to sing to this day. I first really kind of became aware of this hymn at the funeral of my sister-in-law, who was murdered at the age of 21 by a man who fashioned himself as the next Charles Manson. So you can imagine what a horrific thing it was. And to this day, it's still hard to even think about what happened to her. And we sang this at her funeral, and it was of great comfort to my wife and I. And every time we sing it, we think of Barbara, because it does paint a picture of the joy and the hope of what might happen after some extraordinary evil like the one she experienced. And it really is a magnificent description of the heavenly place that God has prepared for us, which you mentioned it in your introduction. Heaven is being with Christ. That's really the number one picture of heaven for us.
What does Paul mean when he says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind cannot conceive of what this very hymn is going to describe to us?
Well, we have glimpses of it. I think that's the beauty of being, I mean, created in God's image, that we do have moments of it, but we cannot even imagine what the full experience of what God intended us to be, you know, perfect and holy and without sin and in a place of complete, total joy and peace and rest. It's beyond our comprehension. As I said, we have foretastes of it. We have moments of experiencing that, but it is because of our brokenness and our life in which we live under the cross that we can never fully understand what that means until it actually happens.
What do we know about the author of this hymn?
Well, you know, it is a hymn that comes out of an incredibly long poem that was entitled Contempt of the World by Bernard of Cluny, a Benedictine monk in the 12th century. It's 3,000 lines long, and you read anything about it, they marvel at how he was able to write it with the rhythm he did. This is just four little verses out of that, and a lot of it is his sort of contemplation of the effects of evil in the medieval world, and not just in the world, but in the church itself. He was almost a kind of a prophet of what was going to someday happen in the Reformation, and we don't really know anything else about him. Cluny was a place that was a very important monastery that controlled a lot of the world at that time and fought, you know, part of the Crusades out of Cluny, and he was associated with that most of his life. This little snippet is the place where he contemplates the other side of evil, the side that awaits us. And you can see that, I guess that's why this, in many ways, this hymn means so much, because having experienced that evil with my sister-in-law, the opposite that this hymn gives is exactly what Bernard of Cluny tried to do in his poem, to show what awaits us in this world in which evil is real and powerful and really affects our lives very deeply.
Where would you locate the primary biblical text for Jerusalem the Golden?
Well, it's clearly a Revelation hymn. Revelation 21 at the very end is probably the main text. And of course, Revelation 7. These are texts that we associate with All Saints Day, and we can come back to those. But, you know, there are two other texts that we are alerted to. You mentioned St. Paul. It's not exactly the same text, but it's very simple, similar one. The one where he talks about we have these treasures in jar of clay. And let me just read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And then I think there's also a passage from Isaiah 60, verses 19 and 20, that really, in a sense, is a foretaste of Revelation. But here the prophet says, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." That last line, "the days of your mourning shall be ended," this is a hymn that we use for funerals, and it does help us in our mourning.
Let's hear the first stanza of Jerusalem the Golden. "Jerusalem the Golden, with milk and honey blessed, beneath thy contemplation sing heart and voice oppressed. I know not, oh, I know not, what joys await us there, what radiance of glory, what bliss beyond compare."
I know not.
With only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Just, your initial thoughts on that first stanza.
Well, it certainly paints for us the extraordinary picture that the hymn wants to portray, this incredible place with milk and honey blessed, which of course brings us to the land, the promised land that flows with milk and honey. But I'm always intrigued by the second line, beneath thy contemplation sink heart and voice oppressed. There's the mourning. There's the fact that we live in this place of evil. And I think the most beautiful phrase is what joys await us there. We do not know, as it says, we do not know. We can't even contemplate the radiancy, the bliss, because we live in this broken world. But it is a golden place that God has prepared for all who trust in him.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this first stanza of the hymn, Jerusalem the Golden. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. It seems that the picture that's painted for us can be painted in outline, but we have yet to experience it in full, now by faith, then by sight, when all of the outline is finally filled in, colored in for us to see in the resurrection. We'll talk about bliss, because often we think about heaven as a place where we are absent from what? Sorrow and mourning. That is true. But there is also something that is present there in Christ, pure joy. We'll be right back. We're studying the hymn, Jerusalem the Golden. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine or teaching from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Study Bible. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Arthur Just about the hymn Jerusalem the Golden. He's professor of New Testament and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke, and the book Heaven on Earth. You can find out more about all of these resources under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Just, because we so commonly experience the evil, the mourning, the sorrow here in this life, and it seems to ever increase with age, we think about heaven as the absence of these things primarily.
But the biblical picture goes beyond that. This is not a neutral place that Christ has won for us. There is bliss, there is joy, there is radiancy of glory. Talk about that.
Well, the interesting thing about talking about heaven is that we do get these pictures that are almost beyond, you know, our imagination, but they do have a touch in reality, because it's described as a place. It has rivers flowing. It's got, you know, particularly jeweled, you know, thrones. It's kind of almost a Hollywood image. And I mean, obviously this appeals to what our humanity thinks of something grand and royal. But the ultimate image of heaven is to be in the presence of God and to be in the presence of Jesus. And this hymn does refer to it once when it talks about the feast. But it is the singing with the saints and the feasting with Christ at this marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. And it is a place where, in many ways, all the things that we ultimately value, and that is, you know, communion with one another and with God, relationships, community, and the intimacy that comes in what we would consider to be the great events of community, like eating and drinking together. It is the wonderful sense of being all one in a common voice and a common worship. What heaven is really pictured like is a long liturgy, in a sense. That's why people who are, you know, upset with liturgy today are going to be really disappointed by heaven, because it's one long liturgy in a place that is, you know, beyond our comprehension. I love what this hymn says in the last verse: "Oh, sweet and blessed country." That's what it is. It is the land flowing with milk and honey. It is the promised place that God has intended for all who love him and who await this bliss beyond compare.
Here is stanza 2 of Jerusalem the Golden. "They stand, those halls of Zion, all jubilant with song, and bright with many an angel, and all the martyr throng. The prince is ever in them, the daylight is serene, the pastures of the blessed are decked in glorious sheen." Another Old Testament reference here in the halls of Zion. What should this, in scriptural terms, what should this tell us?
Well, we didn't talk about it in the first verse. I should have. I mean, the halls of Zion are Jerusalem, and heaven is pictured as the new Jerusalem. And why was Jerusalem, I mean, the Jerusalem of Jesus, why was that a special place? Well, that's where God was. That's where the temple was. And that's where the Messiah was going to come, to the hills of Zion, to give up his life. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of atonement. And in atoning, there is restoration. There is new creation. And there he ushers in his body, the new Jerusalem. That's why, you know, the early church thought of the new Jerusalem as being experienced already now, where people gathered around word and sacrament, because that's where Jesus is, and he is the new temple. He's the place of God's holiness and God's presence. That's where we sing the jubilant songs, because the bridegroom is there. There he is, and we always sing at weddings. That's why we sing in church. And we also believe, that's why I called my book Heaven on Earth, that there at the liturgy are the angels and the martyrs. The prince is there, and we are gathered together in him. That is a marvelous, you know, way of thinking what the liturgy is. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a coming of heaven onto earth because of the presence the bodily presence of our Lord Jesus. The other image in this verse is the daylight. The daylight is serene. The pastures are decked in glorious sheen. You know, all of us know what that kind of light means. We've sometimes seen that heavenly light in a sunset or a sunrise, or just a particular light in a particular moment. That heavenly light is what heaven is going to be all the time, because the light, as the Isaiah passage said, is God himself, is Jesus, the light of the world.
It says the prince is ever in them, and I can't tell whether it's talking about the martyr throng that's mentioned right before or the halls of Zion.
I think it's both, Todd. I mean, I think it does go back to the halls of Zion, but the halls of Zion have present with them the angels and the martyrs, you know, the whole company of heaven, as our liturgy says, and the prince is ever in them, the halls with the saints, and in the saints as well. I mean, that's in a sense, almost impossible for us to imagine, but that's what we have now in Christ, communion with his flesh, Christ in us and us in him, that mystical union between Christ and us, and that is going to be the fullness of what heaven is, that communion.
In this third stanza, it's almost as though the camera is getting a wide shot in stanza two and then zooming in on the real focus of the entire hymn. The third stanza, there is the throne of David, and there from care released, the shout of them that triumph, the song of them that feast, and they who with their leader have conquered in the fight, forever and forever are clad in robes of white. Dr. Jest, what is the throne of David?
Well, you know, I didn't notice this until we got ready for this hymn study. And, you know, every verse begins with Jerusalem. In the first, of course, it's Jerusalem the Golden, then the halls of Zion, the throne of David is Jerusalem, and the sweet and blessed country is Jerusalem. And it's the Jerusalem, you know, new, the Jerusalem of heaven. And that's the throne of David. That's where the king is coronated. And I've always remarked that we should think of the kingdom of God, you know, which we always talk about the reign and rule of God in the world, as being focused first and foremost where Jesus is crowned the king with a crown of thorns. And I think there's a reference always in that to the cross, that there is where we see God's glory. I mean, that's one of the great ironies of the scriptures, and that's at the heart of our theology of the cross, that in suffering we see, you know, God's glory, and it's because of that suffering, it's because of his wounds, the stigmata, that we can inherit this new Jerusalem, that it is ours now. And this hymn in this third verse, it's one of my favorites because from care released, I mean, that word released is the big word for forgiveness and just being freed from the bondage of the fallen creation, free from sickness, from sin, from death, from the devil. And that's why we have shouts of triumph. You know, that's why this eternal feast is one in which there are no more tears, no more crying, as Revelation says. We are with our leader. That throne of David is where our leader is coronated for us. And one of the great, you know, pictures of heaven is there. He is the Pantocrator, the king over all creation, the one who reigns now as the king eternal. We're studying in Gospels 1 today, you know, that great parable of Matthew 25, where the king separates his sheep and his goats, as a shepherd would. And that image of the king is the image of both Jerusalem old and Jerusalem new, seen through the cross, where he is made our king in suffering.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about stanza three of Jerusalem the Golden with Dr. Arthur Just. By the way, you'll find the text of Jerusalem the Golden, the hymn we're studying today, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. When we come back, it is as though Bernard of Cluny, the author of this hymn, is reading straight from the text of Revelation when he talks about these who have conquered with their leader, clad forever in robes of white. We'll talk about that after this. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Add Virginia to the list.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony list, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Virginia recently became the 23rd state to offer pro-life specialty license plates. These plates feature a drawing of two children and the words, "Choose Life." Proceeds from these plates are sent to crisis pregnancy centers in the state. The legislation passed by one vote in Virginia. Governor Tim Kaine, who is also the chairman of the National Democratic Party, signed the bill despite objections from pro-abortion groups. Governor Kaine defended his actions by saying if Planned Parenthood lobbied for a pro-abortion license plate, that he would sign that bill into law, too.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
We're studying the hymn Jerusalem the Golden as the church remembers all saints. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, before we leave stanza three behind, talks about these who have conquered with their leader, clad forever in robes of white. This is drawn directly up out of that Revelation text. And while it is a beautiful image, I imagine there's much to be said about being clad in white in Christ's presence.
It is. And I mean, the image here is Revelation 7, 13 and following, where the elders, you know, who are those clothed in white robes and where have they come from? And, you know, the answer, sir, you know. And the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, there is that, you know, that line, beneath thy contemplation sink heart and voice oppressed. We all come out of that. That's the evil that we began with. We all come out of that tribulation. And the ironic thing is they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the kind of the what's the word there? It's a tension. How can white robes be washed in red blood? But boy, does that say it. I mean, it is because of that cleansing blood that we are whole, that we are white, that we are pure, that we stand before Him in Jerusalem the Golden. as those who are in Him. The only reason we stand there is because He has washed us white in His blood, and that is why we serve Him day and night in His temple. That is why, you know, we hunger no more or thirst no more. The sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat. And then listen to this last line of that. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There you can see the tribulation that we come out of, and the meaning of being in the presence of the One who embraces us, refreshes us, and wipes away our sorrow.
The terms triumph is attributed to the saints here, and conquered with the saints. We know full well that, I mean, I'm not triumphing and I'm not conquering, at least not in this, not in the struggle, my struggle with sin. What is the triumph and the conquering that's being described here? And why is it attributed to me?
Well, you know, the Lamb, when we think of the Lamb, we don't think of it as a conquering Lamb. We think of it more as a Lamb that is slain. But if you look at the pictures, you know, of, on the altars and stuff, the Lamb's holding His staff. He is the Lamb is the conquering Lion of Judah. Let's use that image. And you know, it's like in the temptation. Jesus goes before us in the fight. You know, I mean, the hymn For All the Saints says it better than any other hymn. He goes before us. We go with Him. We are in an apocalyptic war, and we are foot soldiers on the front lines of that war. But our captain in the well-fought fight, the one who we fight in, is Christ, and we can't fight without Him. We're clad in baptismal robes. They're the white robes. There's what we're given the moment we come out of the font. And we are in the battle, but we cannot lose because we're in Him. And that's why we conquer. We are the ones who triumph, because we triumph in Him, because He has conquered. And the irony is, He's conquered by the ultimate humiliation, the ultimate degradation, the ultimate shame, the suffering and death of the cross. That is how we conquer. There is His moment in which He is the conquering Lamb in the complete weakness, hanging there naked on the tree. That is what washes us. That is what conquers for us. That is the Christ who is victorious for us in weakness and in suffering.
Is that why in that Revelation passage, somewhere near there, Christ appears as on a white horse, coming in triumph, but His robe is dipped in blood? He has blood on His robe.
He does. That's right. No, that's exactly right, Todd. That's a wonderful reference there.
The fourth and final stanza of Jerusalem the Golden. O sweet and blessed country, the home of God's elect, O sweet and blessed country that eager hearts expect, Jesus, in mercy bring us to that dear land of rest, who art with God the Father and Spirit ever blessed. Dr. Jess, if you permit me, you know what I love most about that final stanza? It's that finally, after being referenced again and again and again, we get Jesus' name, and along with it, the whole Trinity.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to end, isn't it? And we know that that's there the whole way, but it is so wonderfully climactic to put it there in the last two verses, and it's in mercy. bring us. Not in justice, but in mercy, because that's what we need. I've already mentioned the sweet and blessed country, but the reason it's a sweet and blessed country is because it is home. Oh, how a wonderful image that is. It's an enduring image for everyone. Everybody is looking for a home, and everybody knows what that means. This summer I read Home by Marilynne Robinson, a wonderful book. All great literature deals with people seeking for home. And in a sense, that's what the whole, you know, rhythm of the scriptures is, finding that promised land, that home, that place of rest, that sabbatismos, as it says in Hebrews, that eternal Sabbath, that eternal place of peace and repose. And it is a sweet and blessed country. Even people identify their own national interests with home. You know how it is. I'm a New Englander. When I cross the border into Vermont, I know I've come home. We all have that sense of home. And here, the author shows us that the true home is to be with Jesus. Jesus, who, because he was merciful in mercy, brings us to that place of rest. And it's a place where we are with the Holy Trinity, and it is the destiny of our pilgrimage here on this earth, the destiny of our journey, to be home with Jesus.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm from Texas, and it's palpable when you cross, especially over from Oklahoma into Texas, that sense of, you know, this is my home place, and the closer I get to my home, even though my parents have moved out of the home where I was raised, it's still home, very strongly. And yet, every time I visit home, I'm reminded that I can't go back there again. Not the way it was for me.
Not the way it was. No.
And then when I go back to where I live now, yes, it is home. Yes, my family is there, but it's still not home that way. There is this very strong sense of being displaced, being restless in this world. And yet, it's hard to imagine something more home than where I am now.
This is why we should create space for worship that has that sense of home and rest, that is filled with images of Christ and the saints and what this eternal destiny that we all long for and yearn for is portrayed there in that place where we worship. It should be a place where we can come in and sit and feel at home, that we have come home, you know, to be with Jesus at his feast and to hear his living voice. That's what it should feel like. It should be a welcoming, hospitable place. And in some ways, it should replace all our homes, in a sense. I'm not sure many churches really do that, though. That's one of the sadnesses. I feel that way about my church, and it's a wonderful feeling to come after traveling around and come back home and be with the saints there in that place and know that I am united there with all the martyr throng and all the angels and archangels and all the saints that I've visited, you know, in my travels. It's one of the things I love about Africa, Kenya, that welcome to my home. That is one of their, that is such a big part of their understanding of their own identity. And I think we have that too.
We're studying the hymn Jerusalem the Golden. When we come back, we'll hear the entire hymn and get Dr. Arthur Just's final thoughts on this great hymn for the celebration of all saints. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is the Lutheran Study Bible. You can find it at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Click there and you'll get more information. Also, you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the Lutheran Study Bible. Order one for yourself. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, the Lutheran Study Bible. The whole hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, after this. When you go to church this weekend, do me a favor. Invite your fellow parishioners to tune in to Issues Etc. We've got a great lineup next week. Dinesh D'Souza on Life After Death, Dinosaurs with Ken Ham, The Apocrypha with Dr. Jeff Kloa, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on Christian Funerals, and The War Against Fathers with Dr. Stephen Baskerville. So invite folks at your church this weekend to listen to Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn Jerusalem, the Golden. I'm Todd Wilkin. Before we hear the entire hymn, Dr. Just, people have visited over in the Holy Land to the earthly city of Jerusalem. They come back, impressed by the history, but all of them come back saying, well, that ain't it. Where do we find the Jerusalem spoken of in this hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, here and now for us?
You find it when you hear Jesus' living voice in your church, when you hear your pastor read the gospel and preach to you. You have it when you come to the table of the Lord's Supper, and you have body and blood, and are united with Jerusalem, new, and the saints, and the company of heaven in Jesus. That's the Jerusalem, the Golden. Now, that is where we have heaven on earth.
Let's listen to the entire hymn, Jerusalem, the Golden, the topic of our study as the church prepares to celebrate All Saints. the hymn Jerusalem, the Golden. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, this is like a painting, looking at a painting, and you know that the painting just barely draws the outlines of the thing it's trying to depict. When we arrive there finally, what can we expect? What is the greatest bliss that awaits us in Jerusalem, the Golden?
The greatest bliss is to sit at a table with all the saints, with the whole company of heaven, and to join their song, which will be the most beautiful song we will ever sing, to be at a table that is decked out with the finest foods that we could possibly imagine, and to be able to look down that table and see, sitting at the head of the table, our host, the Lamb who was slain for us, with the Father and the Spirit, all together, all of us, communing at a feast that has no end, in a song that has no end, in which we will experience a joy that we cannot even describe now, and we will be at rest.
What do you say to someone listening to us right now who's found out that they have a terminal illness, or someone who dearly misses a loved one who has died in Christ?
Well, I'll go back to where we began. You know, I've said this before, maybe even on your show, that every time I go to the Lord's Supper now, I think of Barbara. I always do. And I would tell that person who is ready to enter Jerusalem the Golden in the person of Jesus, and those who are mourning a loved one, that when they go to the table and they receive body and blood, that they are to recall that they are joined now in Jesus to heaven, and to think of that loved one in a place that is described in this hymn, where the milk and honey are flowing, where there is the angels and martyred throng, where the daylight is serene, where they are at a feast that has no end, that they are at peace, that they are in those white robes gathered with others who have suffered and no longer are in pain, no longer are in tribulation, that their tears have been wiped away, and that they have been refreshed eternally by the presence of the one who created them, the one who redeemed them, and the one who has now taken them home to be with him.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and director of deacon studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke, and the book Heaven on Earth. Dr. Just, thank you so much.
Blessed all saints.
Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this one, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's a small group of faithful supporters who pledge to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. monthly or annually. Find out more about the Reformation Club under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. That's your ticket to the Reformation Club. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk about Christian funerals. I mean, there are funerals, and then there are Christian funerals. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. Well, we can't imagine it. We can receive it here by promise. It is ours, Jerusalem the Golden. There's no doubt about it. It is beyond imagination, and yet it's not beyond receiving. And we don't have to wait. In some sense, yes, by faith, there are many things incomplete about our experience of Jerusalem the Golden, and yet make no mistake about it. When you hear Jesus himself, the King who reigns in Jerusalem, who reigns from the cross, when you hear him speak his royal verdict of forgiveness for you each and every Sunday, by the mouth of his herald, by the mouth of his messenger, your pastor. When you hear those words, I forgive you all your sins, spoken in the stead and by the command of Christ, you receive already this heavenly city. Your citizenship there is sealed and certain. When you sit at the king's table, although it may look like a rather humble table in your circumstance, together with the other redeemed, and you receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, the king himself, to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins, you are already, by way of foretaste, feasting with all the saints there, the martyrs, and with Christ himself. When you were washed and given your white robe in baptism, the one that was put on you was merely a symbol of the one that God put on you, the robe washed white in the blood of the Lamb. When that water was poured over you with that word that was spoken, I baptize you, I wash you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you were given your citizenship, your place at the table in Jerusalem, the golden. It is yours now. What awaits us there is beyond compare. It is ours now. It is for you. It is in Christ and therefore more certain than anything here on earth. And yet, what awaits you there? Well, we can only now receive it through the Word of God. We can only now sing of it in these happy hymns. But it is ours. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.